So, brothers and sisters, in the Lord, it was an exciting day for the people of Jericho. The famous Jesus was coming to town. And just outside the city, Jesus had already performed an amazing miracle by healing a blind man who was always sitting there by the roadside begging for food. The man had cried out to Jesus, and Jesus had spoken the word. The man received his sight. And he was now following Jesus, praising God. And so we read in that last verse of chapter 18, and all the people, when they saw it, they gave praise to God. Of course, what an amazing miracle. So crowds were lining the streets as Jesus entered the town of Jericho, and the word was spreading. Did you hear what he just did? That beggar that always sitting there? He healed him, he can see. Now, among the people in the town was a man with the name of Zacchaeus. He was well known in the city, but not well liked. As we read in verse 1 or verse 2, he was a chief tax collector and he was rich. If we use today's language, we could say he was a big shot, someone high up in the government's tax agency. A tax man is never popular, even today. In those days, since Israel was under Roman government, it meant that Zacchaeus collected taxes for the Roman government, for the oppressors. He was seen as a collaborator. And added to that, as you know, you've heard sermons before about tax collectors. Tax collectors were often corrupt. They would add something on top of the tax that you would have to pay, and they used it to enrich themselves. And Zacchaeus had done well over the years. He had become a rich man. So Zacchaeus, he was, you could say he was looked up to by the people in the city because he was an important man and a rich man, a beautiful house and everything. But he was also looked down upon and despised by the people. Now we read that Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. Verse 2, or verse 3, he was seeking to see who Jesus was. Who is this man that everyone is talking about? Obviously, Zacchaeus has heard about Jesus. He heard about his preaching, about his miracles, his healing of the sick, the lame, the blind. He even raised a few dead people back to life. He heard probably about that amazing miracle that Jesus multiplied food for thousands of people. He would have heard that Jesus has 12 disciples, one of them a former tax collector, like Zacchaeus himself. So Zacchaeus was curious. What kind of man is this Jesus? I want to see him when he comes to town. We wonder, but we don't know for sure, is perhaps more involved. Has Zacchaeus perhaps discovered that his great wealth has not brought him true happiness? Often happens in the life of a person. Think of some young men who are working hard to build their careers. You want to be a successful person? Have a certain kind of house, have a certain kind of car, and then 15, 20 years later, you have all those things and you start wondering, okay, I got everything what I wanted, but do I feel a lot better than 20 years ago? And maybe Zacchaeus in his conscience is also troubled by the fact that he has become rich by way of corrupt methods. So the question remains, why did Zacchaeus want to see Jesus? Was it just curiosity, or was he also a troubled soul looking for real salvation? Our text doesn't answer the question. It only says he wanted to see who Jesus was. There are other examples in the Bible of people who wanted to see Jesus, but the motives were not always the same. Maybe you can think of a few examples. We read about King Herod, Herod Antipas, the one who had John the Baptist beheaded. We read about him in Luke chapter 9 that he wanted to see Jesus, but he was not looking for salvation, really. He was actually worried that Jesus might be a reincarnation of John the Baptist. But then in John 12, you read about some Greek-speaking people who approached Philip and said, please, we want to see Jesus. So in their case, there was a genuine interest to meet the Savior. You see, even today, people come to church for different reasons. And the Holy Spirit is powerful to use it for his purposes. I've been a missionary in Africa, and I remember that sometimes we had some young men coming to church. Well, that's nice of you to come to church. But I was not always sure if they wanted to hear the gospel or if they wanted to see some of the beautiful girls that we had in church. Doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit was able to use it. Some of those young men heard the gospel and they came to faith. The Spirit is powerful and gracious enough to bless those who come to church, even if our motives are not always pure. Let's apply it to ourselves, brothers and sisters. Can anyone here claim that we came to faith in Jesus because we were looking for him? I don't think anyone can say that we were looking to find Jesus. The Bible says, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. Romans chapter 3. And yet, by God's grace, when you hear the gospel being preached or you read God's word, a desire can be awakened in our hearts that we want to hear more about this man, Jesus, and what he can do for us. It can happen to anyone, to poor people, needy people. It can happen to people who are rich and affluent, and you would say they don't lack anything. Whatever the case may be, I hope you are here this afternoon with a desire to Jesus, to see Jesus, and a desire to get to know him better. But let's go back to Jericho. Jesus is passing through the city. We read in verse 1. Where is he going? Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, to the Passover festival. The festival when God's people remember their liberation from slavery in Egypt. That's where Jesus is going. Now Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus, but he has a problem. He's a short man. And because of the crowds around Jesus, he can't see what happens. So he runs on. He runs on. I always find that a little bit interesting. This is an important man in the city, like a big shot, the director of a company. He has some dignity, you would think, but okay. He runs on, and he climbs into a sycamore tree. I heard one preacher say, that's a little bit out of character for an important man like that. Yeah. Okay, but that's what he does. A sycamore tree is a tree with some low branches. It's easy to get into, and lots of leaves. So it's nice. People cannot really see you up there in that tree, but you can see everything. And that is exactly what Zacchaeus needs. But now we must focus on the Lord Jesus. As I said, he is on his way to Jerusalem to the Passover feast. And he knows what is waiting for him. He has already told his disciples. Also in chapter 18, you can read it. He told them, we are going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be delivered over to the Gentiles to be mocked, ridiculed, spit upon, will be killed, but on the third day he will rise again. That's what he told his disciples. He knows it. That's what's going to happen very soon. So what was on the Lord's mind, if you try to imagine, with every step Jesus takes, he knows that he's getting closer to his death, but also his resurrection. He knows he is going to be the Passover lamb, the sacrifice. He has come to seek and to save the lost, like a shepherd looking for his sheep. He knows it's going to be a brutal death, but this is what the Father has determined, and the Son is willing to walk this way. Again, what's going through the Savior's mind, we don't know. He received his hero's welcome in Jericho, Jesus. And he knows within a week, things will be turning around, and these same crowds that are so enthusiastic, so happy with him today, they're going to reject him, crucify him. He sees the joy and the enthusiasm of the blind man who is now healed and praising God. But he knows much more. He knows his people, not just the outside, but also the inside. He knows that ever since the fall in sin of Adam and Eve, every human heart has a deep-rooted problem, a basic tendency to be disobedient to God and to put self in the center. We discover it in ourselves, don't we? In our children, in our grandchildren, that basic tendency to put myself in the center, to rebel against good rules. Little child this afternoon, beautiful, sweet, but when they grow up, as we know, we're all the same. We put self in the center, and we as parents have a hard time to try and work with it, guide it all. And so the Lord works with us as well. So Jesus, as he is walking through Jericho, the streets of the town, he knows that he needs to do more than just heal a blind man here and a lame man there. He is called to address the fundamental problem of humanity, the problem of guilt and sin and rebellion. He is called to seek and to save the lost. And so Jesus comes to that tree where Zacchaeus is hiding. And now it turns out that Jesus has been looking for him already. Something remarkable happens. The two men have never met before, but Jesus knows his name. He knows he's up there in the tree, and he knows his name. So Jesus looks up and he says, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." I'd like you to just note that. Jesus is not first asking, who is that up in the tree? No, he knows. He doesn't need to inquire. And I'm sure there were more trees along the streets and maybe more people in those trees watching the crowd, but Jesus stops here at this tree and he calls this man by name, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down." Well, this is a testimony, brothers and sisters, to the gospel truth that we are saved by God's initiative. He came to call us. And yes, it does happen that people try to find God, thankfully. It does happen that there are people like Zacchaeus who want to see Jesus. But I can tell you this, whenever that happens, that person has heard things about Jesus already. Whenever it happens that someone is looking for Jesus, God himself has already been at work. So before Zacchaeus came to the point that he wanted to see Jesus, Jesus already knew his name. Now, you need to apply this to yourself. And myself, yourself. You come to church. I don't know if people are listening via live stream this afternoon. For whatever reason, you came to church, maybe just to see the baby. That's good enough. Maybe someone invited you. Maybe someone is listening via live stream. Perhaps you were eager to come. Perhaps you were just, okay, I have to come. That's what we do. Whatever the case may be, the Lord knew everything about you. He knew you before you knew him. He was looking for you. He even called you by name. We have a striking example of that this afternoon. We had little Brooks here for baptism. He didn't realize what was happening, I think. But the Lord called out his name. His name was called out here at the baptismal font. Brooks Milton Cotlinburg, you belong to me. His parents will tell him when he grows up. That's what they promised. Think of your baptism, boys and girls. Your name was called out like this afternoon in the midst of the congregation. The Lord said, you belong to me. And he has remembered his promises to you. He wants to be part of your life. Well, he actually wants to be more, not just a part. He wants to be the Lord of your life. Because without him, you are lost and you need salvation, just like everyone else. We should pay attention to how the Lord shows his determination to spend time with Zacchaeus. He doesn't say something like, Zacchaeus, could you come down from the tree? That's something I want to talk to you about. If you have a minute, there's some authority here. The Lord says, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Note the word must. There is a divine must. Think of election. Zacchaeus has been chosen. This must happen according to God's plan. I must be with you today because you are lost and you must receive salvation. Notice also the word stay. I must stay in your house today. The Lord is on his way to Jerusalem, but today he must stay at the house of Zacchaeus. So the Lord wants to spend a good chunk of time with him, maybe even sleep over at his house. I don't know. But the Lord really wants to invest some time and energy into the life of Zacchaeus and his family. And now it becomes tricky, because what we read next is that Zacchaeus comes down from the tree and he receives Jesus joyfully. That's what it says. So he hurried, verse 6, he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. Many people and even preachers have a problem with this word joyfully. I even had a student at the seminary. We were dealing with this text and the student said, that's not good. He shouldn't be joyful. He should show some humility. What many of us, I guess, would like to see is that Zacchaeus would have shown some remorse. Would it not have been better if he came down from that tree and then maybe fall down at Jesus' knees and say, depart from me, Lord, because I am a sinful man. That's what Simon Peter did, Luke chapter 5. Should Zacchaeus not have shown some humility and indicated he was not worthy to have the Lord under his roof? And should the Lord not have approached him in a different way and say something like, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, because I need to talk to you about a few things in your life. Your business practices, for example. Of course, this is exactly the way the people of Jericho responded. We read that they all grumbled. When they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Now, I guess me and you, we would not dare to criticize the Lord for staying in the house of Zacchaeus and spending time with him. That's the Lord. How can we criticize him? But maybe we still have this nagging sense that somehow it's going very easy for this man. This man is a sinner. He's lost, we read. Shouldn't he so show some remorse? And should Jesus not be a bit more careful in choosing the place where he wants to go for dinner? Why associate with someone like this corrupt tax collector? And yet, brothers and sisters, this is the gospel. The Lord does not choose people because they are more worthy or less sinful than others. The Son of Man, the Lord says, came to seek who? He came to seek and to save the lost. Indeed, when he comes under your roof, things are going to change dramatically. We will see that with Zacchaeus as well. But the Lord's decision to come under your roof, into your life, was not based on any value that we might have that perhaps sets us apart from the next person, and that we are more worthy than others of hosting him. That Jesus comes into your life or my life is based on the love of God. There is this well-known hymn, Rock of Ages, has a line that I like to quote in sermons. Nothing in my hand I bring, only to the cross I cling. Try to remember. Nothing in my hand I bring, only to the cross I cling. So, Jesus and his disciples stay at the house of Zacchaeus on that day. Must have been a very nice house, of course. He was rich. You can imagine that his wife was there, Zacchaeus' wife, maybe his children if he had them, perhaps some relatives, some servants probably, maybe some friends and colleagues as well. We don't know. Now, we would have liked to listen into the conversations that the Lord had with Zacchaeus at his house. What did they talk about? What did the Lord say? What did he tell Zacchaeus? Did he confront him with his sins? Did he call him to repentance? Did he tell Zacchaeus and his family that he was the Savior, that he was on his way to Jerusalem to be handed over and killed? We don't know. We don't know anything about the conversation. What we know is the outcome of the conversation. And we hear it from two persons, from Zacchaeus himself and from the Lord. At a certain point in time, Zacchaeus stands and he asks for attention. He has something to say to the Lord, but he wants everyone to hear. Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone out of anything, I restore it fourfold. An astounding promise. Is there still anyone who wants to criticize Zacchaeus for not showing remorse? What this man is promising to do can only be explained as a result of true repentance. To give away 50% of your possessions to the poor, and then to promise to make restitution to all those who have been defrauded by you of anything, and not just once, but fourfold. By the way, Zacchaeus shows that he knows the scriptures, because this was a law in the Old Testament, Exodus 22. When a man steals a sheep, if he's caught, he must return four. Zacchaeus has repented. No longer is he a slave of his riches. This man has been set free. He is no longer a lost man. And the Lord Jesus confirms what he says by giving his own glorious statement. Today, salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. Interesting expression. Why would the Lord say that? He is also a son of Abraham. Well, that's what the townspeople didn't want to hear. They said, this man, he may be a Jew, but he is not a true son of Abraham. He should be avoided. And now here we have the great son of Abraham, the one who said before Abraham was, I am. And he says, this man, yes, he's a tax collector, but he is a true son of Abraham. He is saved by his faith, just like Father Abraham was saved by faith. And his faith is confirmed by his works, just like Father Abraham's faith was confirmed by his works. Again, some of us might be tempted to raise doubts about Zacchaeus and his conversion. That student that I mentioned earlier raised some doubts as well. He said, yeah, you know, Zacchaeus can say that. It's easy to make promises, but keep in mind, he still needs to follow through. Who knows what will happen tomorrow or next week? He might have second thoughts. You think Zacchaeus is indeed going to give away half of his money to the poor? You think he's going to go back really to those people that he defrauded and ask, what can we do to make things right? He's got a long way to go. That's what my student said. He's not there yet. Well, the Lord said something different. The Lord said, Zacchaeus, he's there. He's a son of Abraham. He's found salvation. And when the Lord says it, it's true. The Lord knows the hearts of people. We can trust his judgment. Zacchaeus' conversion was not fake news. It was a true conversion, and it would lead to real changes in his life. Yes, he will still be a tax collector, but he's going to be a different one. He will still be a sinner, but a sinner with Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's a huge difference. Yes, it will be difficult for Zacchaeus to follow through on his promises. The Christian life, as we all know, is a life of daily repentance, and it is not easy. Imagine Zacchaeus going back to one of those people, knocking on the door, someone who he has defrauded in the past. Perhaps they say, oh, sorry, the person has moved, or the person is no longer alive. Or maybe that person is so angry, slams the door in his face. Can happen. People might not even want to receive him. As Christian believers, we receive forgiveness of sins, but sometimes the consequences of our sins, they go with us. They cannot always be erased. Think of the sins that you have committed when you were young. Some of those sins did some real damage. Damage that cannot be undone. It can be forgiven, but the damage is there. There are certain things in one's life that continue to cause pain and shame, and that will also have happened in the life of Zacchaeus, even though by God's grace he was a new person, and you and I become a new person in Jesus Christ. But how beautiful it is then to hear the Lord's statement, this man is also a son of Abraham. The Lord knew everything about Zacchaeus. He knew about the evil things he had done. Yet the Lord came into his house and he looked him in the eyes and he said, yeah, I know you. I know what you've done. I know you're lost. But I can give you salvation. So the Lord loved him and showed him mercy. The Lord Jesus was on his way to the cross at Golgotha to cover the sins of this man and countless other people, you and me included, with his precious blood. And the Lord was on his way even further to Pentecost. He wanted to pour out his Holy Spirit on the life of this man and countless others, you and me included. Was it going to be difficult for Zacchaeus to follow through on his promises? Yeah, it was going to be difficult. But he did not have to do it in his own strength. He had now found his Savior, a Savior that would also be raised to life on the day of Easter to be the Lord of his life. So let's make it personal, brothers and sisters. How comfortable would you be receiving the Lord in your home or in your life? Would you invite him over for lunch or for dinner? Spend an evening with him? Show him what you're doing on your computer? Have breakfast tomorrow morning? Knowing that he knows everything, that he can read your thoughts, he knows your desires, every inclination of your heart. If you are like me, you would have mixed feelings about it. I would like to have the Lord over for dinner, but it's also very scary because he knows everything. I would have the inclination to say what mothers often say when you go visit, welcome, but please don't look at the mess. Yeah, the Lord is very interested in your mess. It's actually the reason why he came. The Son of Man, he says, came to seek and to save who? People who don't have any mess? No, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He did not come to judge. He will do that later, on the last day. But for now, we can trust his promise that he came to bring salvation, to save the lost. He's able to look at your and my life with eyes that see everything and still exude love and mercy. So do not close the door on him. Be like Zacchaeus, come down from your tree and receive Jesus with joy. Welcome him in your home. Submit to him. Ask him to be the Lord of your life and to govern you by his word and spirit. And you will see amazing things happen in your life. One afternoon or evening or whatever it was, and Zacchaeus' life was changed totally. That's the power of Jesus Christ. So when you commit yourself to Christ and you say, Lord, I am lost, please help me and please save me. But the Lord says, and what he promises, is to give you salvation. That's the word. Wholeness, freedom, shalom, peace, union with God, and union with his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.